a resounding theme has been the presence of the Lord. And in Exodus 33, it talks about God, Moses says this, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to leave here. And so often today, we don't have this presence of God that comes and then departs and comes and departs. His presence is with us. His presence is here. But sometimes we miss it. We get distracted. Things weigh in. We don't notice. We don't see that he's actually at work and his presence is here. And so we do pray that. We say, God, let us become more aware of your presence. We actually want to know that you're here. We want to experience you. We want to connect with you. And so would you just take a few moments with me and let's just pause, whatever, you know, maybe you've had a chance to pause this morning, maybe you haven't, but just a moment to pause and acknowledge that God's presence is here this morning and to make that a prayer. God, I want to walk in an awareness of your presence, not just when I'm in these four walls, but in every moment, when I leave, when I'm at work, when I'm with my family, I want to have an awareness of your presence. So would you just reach your heart out to God and just express that to him in your own words this morning? Thank you. God, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And even more than that, Lord, because of the gift of your Son on the cross, you are now God in us as we accept you into our hearts, as we make you Lord of our lives. God, we pray that this day we would be aware of your presence. God, that you would reveal so often, and we talked about this Friday at our ladies' Bible study, so often God is working in situations and we don't even recognize it until we're through the woods. And so God, would you reveal to our hearts today how you are at work in our lives and in our situations. God, would we be aware of your presence, not just that general overall knowledge of your presence, but we see specifically, God, where your presence is intersecting our lives. God, would you give people reassurance of that today, that you are with them. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you do not leave us orphans, but you come to us, God, that you've given us your Holy Spirit to reside in us, God, to confirm the work that you are doing. We are so grateful. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, you can go ahead and be seated. And I'm going to go grab my sermon, all right? So how's everybody doing this morning? Are you still okay? Are you still warm enough? All right. Good, good. You guys are a hearty bunch. I'm freezing. My nose is cold. My hands are cold. But that's just me. Well, we have been working through a series called On Mission. And we've been talking about sticking to our mission as a church. And our mission is loving God and reaching people. And the reason we're talking about this is because we have a tendency to be people who drift. And we've given some examples of that. And one of those prime examples where we can experience drift is multitasking. Any of you consider yourself to be a really good multitasker? All right? Any of you once in a while have been confronted with the reality that you're really not as good as you think you are? All right. Good? Yeah? So multitasking can sometimes pull our focus in so many different directions. And we had the opportunity, it was about a week and a half ago, to go to a Mission Thrift Store dinner for the volunteers and all the people that work there. And during that dinner, they showed us a video of what they were able to accomplish through the mission they support, Bible League of Canada. And the results were astounding. The numbers were huge. And as we walked away from that, I said to Ed, you know, the reason that they were able to achieve so much is their focus is razor sharp. This is why we exist. This is who we support. This is why we do what we do. And we can see these incredible results because of that razor sharp focus. And as we work through that series, that's what I'm hoping we will gain together as a congregation, is just refining once again a razor sharp focus. That as a church, we are to be about, anyone remember those four words? Starts with love. Yeah. And reaching people, loving God and reaching people. It's important for us to know what is our mission, and it's important for us to know what isn't our mission. Ephesians 5, kind of the theme verse for this series, says this, verses 15 to 17. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And that's our heart's cry. God, help us to understand what you want us to do. How are you calling us to love God? How are you calling us to reach people? And we started this series by talking about loving God through our worship and through our devotion. Last week, we began to shift to reaching people. And we began to talk about what it means to become a welcoming church, because so much of our ability to reach people has to do with what we are doing in here sometimes. So yes, we need to go into our community. Yes, we need to reach our community with the gospel and not stay contained within these four walls. But the reality is people will come to these four walls, and we want to be ready to receive guests. We want to be ready to have company in our home. So I just want to remind you as we go into this today that a lot of my sources, a lot of the research and some of the points contained within is from Tom Rainier. He is a leadership kind of guru that's quite popular now among church leadership circles. And so a lot of the material I'm bringing to you comes from him. So last week we looked at the challenge. We looked at the top 10 reasons why churches are not considered welcoming and the top 10 reasons they are. Today we're going to look a little bit at the possibilities to finish up this series. So just a reminder, the bottom line is that the welcoming church is more of an attitude than disposition. It represents the mindset of an outward focus rather than an inward focus. And it's about serving rather than being served. So this whole idea of a welcoming church, I'm going to remind you again, why does this matter? Uh-oh, it went small on me. There we go. Why does this matter? Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And again, that word hospitality is about kindness to strangers. That's Hebrews 13:2. Romans 15:7 says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So our welcome is incredibly important. But unfortunately, sometimes the church, we buy into a few myths about our welcome, and maybe you've said some of these before, maybe you've thought some of these before. So five myths. Everyone knows where our church is. Now, this is kind of an easy assumption because we do have a rather ginormous building in terms of church standards. And yet, I don't know about you, but I've already encountered people in the community in our short time here. Oh, where's that? When I say, oh, I work at New Life Four Square Church, where's that? That's the old 10th Avenue School. Oh, is that up? And, you know, so no, not everyone knows where our church is. Another myth, our church is small. We don't need signs for people to get around. Church websites are really not that important. Yeah, right? It's easy to get around in our church. And here's a big one. Signs and websites are human-centered methodologies. They are not centered to the gospel. What's interesting is that last night I was reading my Bible before bed, and I'm in the book of Exodus right now, and it just so happens to be the chapters on the tabernacle. Talk about detail. Right? Like God had every little detail specified. So those things, as I was reading this, I'm like, oh, there it is, proof. This is important to God. The things about our space and our being together are incredibly important and can be very representative of what God's doing internally. But how does this concept of being a welcoming church connect to the gospel? And what is the winning perspective? We'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 to 33. And throughout this chapter, Paul is talking about conduct when people are mixing with those who know the Lord and have a relationship with him and with those who don't. And he's reminding the hearers how Israel fell into idolatry when they didn't heed God's warning. And at the end of the chapter, he says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or to the church of God. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many might be saved. So as we explore this idea of becoming a welcoming church, can I echo the words of Paul that say we don't just do what is best for us, but we do what is best for others so that many might be saved? And sometimes that is about acknowledging the culture that we exist in and saying, okay, you know what? Having an olive green this and a pale yellow that is not really appealing to the culture of this day. So sometimes we do make those adjustments accordingly. I'm thinking of the 70s, by the way. I was a child of the 70s. So, you know, if you've gone into kitchens at that time, some of you might already be able to picture up that decor, the olive green stoves and fridges and lots of oranges. And many of you might like that palette, and that's okay. But there is a danger in becoming an in-centered church. When we become to be focused on churches about us and our needs being met. Now, the church is to edify one another. It is to encourage one another. It is an opportunity where we can come together and learn. Absolutely. But we don't want to become so focused on only that, that we miss the people who are coming in and we forget to be welcoming. So how do we increase our welcome? Today, we're going to look at a few specifics. And then at the end, I'm going to open it up just a little bit to hear some of your thoughts. So first of all, we can make sure that no GPS is required when people come into the building. And so it's a little pale up there, but that's just a picture of a maze. And so no GPS required. Your guests, our guests, they don't actually know where to take their children when they come. They don't automatically know where the best parking spots are. They don't really know where the washrooms are. And you might think it's obvious. It is in some ways. But if you've ever had a guest in your home, what is the inevitable question that at some point in your visit comes up? Yeah, where's the bathroom? You know, and you could send them off and just go down the hall, find it yourself. Or generally we don't, right? Generally we go, oh, just go down. It's three doors on the left. And then we all kind of sneak down very unobtrusively, trying not to, you know, look like we're looking for the washroom, even though we are. Don't assume that our size lets us off the hook. It doesn't. We need good signage on the outside of the building, in our parking areas, and in our building. Those things are a statement of our hospitality. It means that we're expecting guests and that we desire them. And two big ones that Tom Rainier pointed out is guest parking and handicap parking. So having those things easily identified, because that is the first thing people do when they drive up to your church. They find the location. Where do I park? So where are we at with this, and what does it look like at New Life? Well, I think we can acknowledge there's some work that needs to be done. And we are very fortunate to have a sign guy in our congregation. Maybe you don't go by that title, Donnie. Sign guy. And we've been having some conversations, he and I, about what that could look like. There are measurements to be taken. There are phases to be done. But we are beginning to have those conversations. And so that's where we're at with that, at the conversation stage, and I have on my to-do list, make measurements for Donnie, go see him at the sign shop, go see the sign guy. So that's where we're at with that. Sorry, I keep minimizing my stuff. And now, for a slide off. Here we go. Another thing we can do is we can make sure our website is up to date. So most guests go to our church website before they ever set foot on our church property. In fact, statistics say up to a year. People are checking you out up to a year before they ever come into your door. So where are we at with that? Well, in August, we purchased the ability to expand our website. And then in January, we launched our new website. But it's three of us volunteers working on it who actually have never done a website before. So we are learning as we go. Lots of Googling, lots of how do we do this? So that's where we're at with that, and we are beginning to build that and make sure that our presence online is welcoming. If you haven't gone to our website recently, I encourage you to go check it out. If you are web savvy, come talk to me. We'd really love your help. The other thing we can do is we can have the right people and the right items in the right places at the right times. That sounds like a lot. We want to be right. We want to have the right people and the right items in the right places at the right time. Tom Rainier says, greeter ministry is too important to be a casual thought in church life. Our vision is to have greeters at every door and in the parking lot, where people, as soon as they land on the property, somebody is saying, welcome, head on this way, go this way. Did you know that there's this lunch after the service today? Those kind of things. So greeters strategically placed where they will make the first and powerful connections with guests. And we can't welcome people that we miss. So often, some of the studies say that the most awkward moment for guests is when they get to our chairs, especially if they didn't get greeted, because they sit there for 10, 15 minutes prior to the service. Sometimes people talk to them, sometimes people don't, because I think we can acknowledge sometimes we feel awkward, right? Should I go over? Should I approach them? And that can be the most awkward moment, but if we can catch them at the door, that's incredibly important. Every church must have a welcome center that is manned when guests are present. No exceptions, none. Information on the church, information on what and where things take place during the morning. And I call this a church expert. So we need a church expert. Maybe you're an expert. I tend to become an expert in things. I just like to know things. So if I don't know it, I Google it. If I don't know it, I ask for somebody, and I kind of like to know things about everything that's going on and behind the scenes and that kind of a thing. And maybe you today are like that. Maybe you're a church expert. And that welcome center should have a welcome package that includes a gift. Here's an experience from a pastor in Wisconsin. I went to the home of a family that had visited our church a few times. The first things I saw when I sat at the kitchen table was a mug that we give to our first-time guests. Janet, the wife, noticed me looking at it. She commented that the mug was a constant reminder of their visits to our church, and she said that was a good thing. So where are we at New Life? We are developing a small greeter and usher team. Young people, Paige, Brendan, Paul, all of you guys, Irene, Debbie, you guys have been serving so faithfully and trying their best to cover the doors. One of them is designated as the runner who runs back and forth between the doors to catch everybody. But clearly, we would love to see that area of ministry grow. Clearly, we would love to have a church expert who is just near the welcome center with the bulletins and can direct people to things that they have questions about. Another thing we can do is we can make sure people understand us. This is an individual who didn't get the memo. Yeah, poor guy. So our behavior as a church, we are set apart but not set above. So sometimes in a church setting, we have a whole lot of unwritten rules that people don't fully understand, and it can feel like you're walking into a club where there's a secret handshake. So I realized, for example, one Sunday in the church I was in previously, something we would do when we took of communion is that we would break the bread in half to symbolize Jesus' body broken for us. Now, that's incredibly meaningful to me, but the thought occurred to me, if I'm doing this, immediately somebody is going, what just happened there? I got left out of that. I don't know what's going on. So it's very important for us as we gather in our times of worship and fellowship that we keep things incredibly simple and something that can be supported with Scripture. So that way if people go, well, why do you do that? It doesn't feel, again, like that secret handshake. Do you remember a generation when we would clap after we prayed? Anyone remember that, right? Like, amen, clap. For somebody who's a guest, what just happened there? I knew you were supposed to say amen, but I didn't know about the clap thing, and now I'm feeling awkward and left out. Now, there is an awareness that we do some things differently. So when we worship, we often express ourselves with raised hands. There are times when we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But those are things that we can offer an explanation for according to Scripture. And so that's really important that we're aware if there's guests in our church that we're making sure they understand, hey, we're going to have communion this morning. Do you have any questions about that as you come in? Is there anything I can help you understand before we get started? So we want to make sure that people understand us, and that can go down to our lingo, and I think all of us have worked really hard on that. I hear threads all the time of, oh, but that's a church word, so we're going to say it like this. And I say to you, well done. Those are little things we can do, and it's not about watering down who we are or watering down our expressions of worship and how we connect with God. But it is about making sure it's incredibly inviting for guests and that they don't feel like they're entering a secret club. Next, we can have a clean and safe facility. So if your church is not clean and safe, it is a reflection of lack in attention at best and a lazy and uncaring attitude at the worst. And Tom Rainier says this, "I see no relationship in the size of a church and the safety and cleanliness of church facilities. There are good and bad examples among all sizes of churches. No pattern exists related to the income level of churches. It comes down to having the right perspective, the right attitude, and the right effort." And can we take just a moment here to acknowledge we have a team of ladies who over the summer have spent time cleaning out our facility and really tackling rooms that had undergone some neglect. We have some people on our building maintenance team who have been doing essentially the same and working on getting the lighting done in our classrooms and areas. Can we just take a moment and just kind of, yeah, right? Give them a round of applause. Thank you guys. It's so nice to preach this from a place where we are teaming together to make things happen. And one of the other things we can do as a church as we endeavor to become a welcoming church and saying, are there areas of improvement, is we can do recon at other churches. Oh, yes, we can. So a good friend of mine, Terry Vanek Veenstra, who we had out in October, she taught me the art of sneaking through people's church buildings. So we would go to a conference at a church building for children's ministry, perhaps, or something like that. And then at some point during the lunch break, her and I would take off and wander the hallways and peek in the classrooms and that kind of thing. If they were restricted areas, of course, we asked somebody to join us. But it was a great opportunity for us to go, wow, that was a really creative idea. Is that something we could duplicate? Is that something that would work well where we're at? Because we've never come up with that idea. We hadn't thought of it. And so it's a great way just for us to, you know, Pinterest lovers, get on Pinterest, have some fun with that. Get some ideas on how we can create a clean and safe facility that reflects our welcome. So where are we at? We are moving in the right direction, but we also acknowledge these things take time and finances, and they're not going to happen overnight. But there are little things. So for example, a couple weeks ago, we had our tenants, the air cadets, were here, and there was an older gentleman coming down our stairs from the third floor. Well, unfortunately, our bottom step has started to crumble away, some of the exterior of that step. And he tripped and fell on that bottom stair, caught his heel, where the step is damaged, and we're very happy, fortunate he was okay. But there's little things like that where we inadvertently communicate that we are not keeping up on things and keeping a clean and safe facility. So we really want to be attentive to even just those little details sometimes that we miss. I had never noticed there was a problem with the stair prior to that. Maybe because I was up and down them so many times in the summer, it just didn't occur to me. But we need to see things with a fresh perspective. And our teams need help. We need people doing monthly walkthroughs and helping us notice these things. And lastly, we can create safe spaces for kids and young people. The protection of our children is more than an issue of guest friendliness. It is an absolute necessity. So if we expect to see young families visit our church, we must absolutely demonstrate that our church is safe and secure and sanitary for those with young families. They don't know us. So some of us who know each other will go, oh, they're fine, they're with so-and-so. They don't know so-and-so. They don't have an understanding of how we get together and how we make those things happen. So where are we at? We have a good leader at the helm. Danielle has been incredibly diligent with looking through our child safe policies, making sure paperwork and things like that are in order. But she's only one person, and it's a very large space. And very, you know, we have three different children's ministry spaces right now that we'd like to see actively used. We don't actually have a kid check-in system beyond here's the form and fill it out just because of when we dismiss the kids. So we have some challenges to work through that are easy to work through, and we can do that. Our rooms are still needing just a little TLC, all of our children's ministry spaces, to make sure they're age-appropriate in terms of what's in the room for them to sit at and those kind of things. But I'm encouraged. We're moving forward. We're making progress. So I would encourage you, if you're curious about that, if you have a grandson or a granddaughter, ask your daughter or son-in-law or son and daughter-in-law to bring them sometime and just say, what do you see when you bring your kids in? What are we missing? What can we improve? So here's the thing. We're moving forward, but I gave some of you some homework last week where some of you walked through our building to give it a bit of an audit and say, here's where I think we're at. Now, we did get a little bit of response back. Some of you I know are still working on that, and that's great. I'd still love to see your thoughts because mine is only one perspective. So overall, from what I received, the results were positive. Our general interior is neat. There's a lack of junk lying around. There's adequate trash cans. The children's areas are actually doing fairly well. There's just a few small improvements. Some of the things that need improvement that came up were exterior and interior signage, and of course our restrooms, which we're working on, but things take time. So our score was about 54, which means there's the lower kind of tier, then there's one above it and two more above that, and we landed in that second tier. So we have things that need attention, but we have people beginning to pay attention to those things or have been paying attention to those things, and that's fantastic. So with that, what do you think? What's your feedback as you hear this? This is a bit of a different sermon. What do you notice? What do you observe? Do you agree that this is something we need to place an emphasis on? Anyone want to share some thoughts? Good question. Anyone else? Any thoughts, any perspectives, anything that you look at and go, yeah, I've noticed this, or Connie? That's great. Yeah. Well, and that was a new thought to me, too. I didn't realize just how important that was. Yeah. Share and post it. Share and post it. Okay. And so copy the link and share on Facebook. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, if you're on Facebook, help us out with that. Terry. Oh, good one. All right. Noted. Noted. That's a good idea. Yeah, a label. So those are the cards that were printed just after Christmas that if you want to do a little outreach opportunity in community, take a couple of cards. You could pay for someone's drink at Starbucks or Tim Hortons and leave the card with the cashier to give to them. So it's just a little way of saying it's our gift to you. No strings attached, but it comes from New Life Foursquare. Any other thoughts? And if not, that's okay. Terry. Interesting. All right. Okay. That's fantastic. Love that idea. Yeah. It hadn't occurred to me. I mean, we do that every time somebody comes to visit us from Surrey or Calgary or whatever. We take them on a tour of the building. And the boiler room is everyone's favorite, hands down. Just putting that out there. Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you. Those are some things to think about. And The reason I allowed time for that is this is a dialogue we want to be having on a regular basis. So we don't want it to just come from up front and then we all kind of think about it and ponder it and do a little bit here and there. But, you know, we need your help. Ed and I need your help to notice some of those kinds of things, like people aren't really knowing where to find stuff in the building. Could we do a tour? Or people are disconnected here, or people aren't seeing that. So we value that. So what happens now? Well, first of all, we take that information. Thank you. That was very helpful. And we move forward a little at a time. And what I want us to hear this morning is that this isn't about what we can't do and what doesn't exist, but it's about the things that we can do to bring some of these things into existence. And how can you help? Well, first of all, becoming a welcoming church is everybody's job. It's not just Ed's and mine. We will burn out very quickly if we try to do all of that on our own. We can use your help in cleaning and redesigning guest cards, help with mapping out the building for signage. That whole measuring for signs, that's been on my to-do list for 3 months, and it just keeps getting bumped down because other things come in. So if you like tape measures and you like vision and you have decor experience, come talk to me. You could become a greeter or an usher. You could assist us with our website. You could be the expert info giver. You could be the church expert. You could look for people seated and make sure that they receive a welcome, not get stuck in, Tom Rainer refers to them as holy huddles, so not get stuck in a holy huddle. And you could help other people get unstuck so that they can go greet. So sometimes we get so involved in our conversation or get stopped that we don't have the opportunity to make that extra step towards somebody who's visiting for the first time. You could form a holy huddle around the guest. Wouldn't that be fun? So I went on a BC ferry once by myself. I was heading over to visit my in-laws on the island. And as I was sitting there, I realized I was sitting in the middle of this large group of students. I had picked a seat, so I had a whole bunch in front of me, a whole bunch behind me, and they're talking all around me. And at first I'm thinking, okay, this is really awkward. Being an introvert, here I am in the middle of somebody's party. And as I'm listening to them talk, it turns out they were all students of a seminary, and one of them attended the same college I was going to. So we ended up in this very interesting dialogue, and it was very good. But surround people who are new. If you're going to have a conversation with one another, go have it and include them a little bit. So that's something we can do. Volunteer for children's ministry. Maybe volunteer, maybe it's not in with the kids. Maybe it's helping create a kid check system. Maybe it's helping prep the classroom for children's ministry. Help in fixing unsafe areas, helping with broken stairs, paint, furniture that's not age appropriate. And then obviously, as Ed said earlier, giving. As we give to our building fund, those are the resources we're using to repaint the bathrooms, to do repairs here and there. So those are just some ways that we can team up. But what I want to leave you with today is just a little bit of vision about who we are and why this is important. So I have the opportunity on Saturday to do a prayer walk, and often I'm accompanied by Terry Chin. And we do that together, and it was last Saturday, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, we were walking through the building, and we kind of go our separate ways for a period of time, and then we come back together and say, what was the Lord speaking to you? And as I was walking through the building, it was a really warm day, so everything outside was melting. And as I was down in the basement praying, I kept stopping because I thought something was leaking, because you could hear all the water, and I'm like, oh, is that a leak? No, I think that's just outside. And then walk a few more feet. Oh, is that a leak? No, that's just something outside. And it happened enough times that I began to pay attention and think, okay, maybe there's something to this. Maybe God's trying to indicate something here. And so I did what any, you know, person in relationship with the Lord would do at that moment. I Googled scriptures that have to do with water. Just because it's like, I think there's something there, but maybe there's a scripture that connects, or maybe it's just in my head and there isn't. Anyway, Ezekiel 47 came up, and as I read that, I thought, okay, thank you, Lord. This is incredibly appropriate. So it says this, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. So first of all, we have this stream, and in my mind, I think that stream that originates from the Lord, and that's where it originates for us, and yet it flows through and out. And so what God does in our lives flows through and out, and this has to do a bit with our welcome. As we become welcoming inside, we're also become more aware as we take that outside. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through it. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. And as Terry and I talked about this part of the scripture, I thought, what was evident is it didn't matter how deep the water was, he was in. He was in the water. And so as we come together and as we reach into our community, we need to be all in. Some of us might be more in to some degree. Some of us might be swimming, but we need everybody in. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "The river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En Gedi to Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing." So as I read that, I think we have a very specific calling. We have a mission to love God and reach people. And God is our source of that life, that river that flows. And we have something to offer. And God promises as we connect to our mission, as we love God, as we seek to reach people, I love the fact where it says, you'll not ever stop being fruitful. You will continuously be fruitful. And there will be food and healing for people in that. We have a mission. We have a calling as a church. And we want to do everything we can to fulfill that calling. Amen? So I challenge us to fruitfulness in this next season. I challenge us to renewed fruitfulness. We have been a fruitful church. I'm not confused by that. But we want to continue to be fruitful. We want to be in a place where those leaves never fall to the ground, where those leaves never turn brown. And so as we work on some very practical aspects, as we work on being a worshiper, as we work on being a person devoted to the Lord, that fruitfulness will increase and it will impact those around us. And so I just want to leave you with those thoughts today and say, let's get ready for that. Well, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we close? So Lord, we thank you that you are a God who's welcomed us. Lord, that you make a way for us. And God, that is our heart's cry, is to make a way for others. God, we want to make it incredibly easy for people to find you, Lord, and to come to know you. God, I pray that nothing we do would hinder that. Lord, nothing in the way we respond to our guests, nothing in the way we maybe walk in an awareness or any of those things, Lord, we don't want those things to stand in the way. God, I pray today that you would help us as a church to make a way for guests. Lord, I pray that what you do in us would flow out through us, Lord God, for people who enter this building and into our city and beyond, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that all of us would be in. God, that all of us would have our feet at least at a minimum in the water as we join together in this. And Lord, I pray for incredible fruitfulness for our church as we move forward. Lord, that we would see many come to know you through the life and ministry of New Life Four Square Church. Lord God, we pray that as people come, they would find food, Lord, that they would find sustenance for weary souls, and they would find healing and the ability to be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, would you help us as a church to be on mission in every way? We thank you for this. We praise you. In your name, amen.